Spanish author L.P. Hartley wrote, "The past is a foreign country. They do things differently there." Hi, I'm Rob West. That was certainly true when it came to debt. For much of history, if you failed to repay your creditors, you went to prison or experienced something even worse. But in some ways, are debtors still imprisoned? We'll talk about that today, and we're off, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, there's no question that societies in the past viewed debt far more seriously than we do today. For one thing, there were no credit cards, or credit scores for that matter. Lenders required collateral, and if you didn't have property to put up, a son or daughter would do. See 2 Kings 4, the widow's oil, for an example. And it wasn't until the 19th century that Britain and the U.S. abolished debtors' prisons. Now, the idea of throwing someone into prison for unpaid debt seems counterproductive. How are you supposed to pay off your creditors if you're in jail? Well, just the idea of going to prison was a strong deterrent. These were not pleasant places to be. The threat of prison incentivized you to pay your debts before being hauled off in shackles. Another way that debtors' prisons were successful, if you can call it that, was that they put pressure on your family and friends to step in and pay your debts. Creditors didn't care who paid as long as the debt was settled. Also, in many cases, you had to pay your jailers for food and lodging, so you could actually increase your debt by going to jail. It wasn't unusual for people to die there. In many cases, debtors' prison left families destitute. Wives and children sometimes had to follow the husband or father to prison because they lost their homes. But debtors' prison wasn't just for the poorer classes. You might say it was an equal opportunity punishment. Sometimes wealthy people ended up in prison over a disputed debt. And famous people weren't spared either. Some very well-known individuals ended up on the wrong side of the iron bar. Robert Morris was a signer of the Declaration of Independence and helped secure desperately needed funding for the Revolutionary War. Unfortunately, he wasn't that successful with his own finances and ended up in debtor's prison. So did Charles Goodyear, the inventor of vulcanized rubber. Daniel Defoe, author of Robinson Crusoe, was also in prison for unpaid debt, as was the father of author Charles Dickens. Debtors' prisons weren't abolished in America until 1833, and in Britain not until 1869. But that doesn't mean habitual debtors got off scot-free, nor do they today. It just means that unpaid debt moved from being a criminal to a civil offense. Obviously, people are still hauled into court every day for unpaid debt. So not paying what you owe still has dire consequences, and there's no better place to look for that lesson than God's Word. Proverbs 22:7 warns the borrower is slave to the lender. That will never change. Life is still unpleasant for those who run up debt, and worse if you don't pay it. Instead of debtors' prisons, we have credit reports that track your payments or non-payment of every account you open and in minute detail. And from those credit reports, your credit score is determined, a single number that creditors use to determine whether you're a good credit risk. In a very real sense, a low credit score is like being put in financial shackles. In many cases, you can't get a mortgage or other types of loans, or if you do, you have to pay a higher interest rate than someone with a good credit rating. In recent years, having a low credit score began to affect more than your ability to get a loan. For instance, you may find yourself paying more for car insurance, and it can even affect whether or not you get a job because employers increasingly look at credit scores as a part of the hiring process. You're no longer thrown in jail for not paying your debts, but your freedom to make important decisions that affect your life is certainly limited. So it's definitely a form of financial bondage. The Bible never calls debt a sin, but it's full of warnings and reminders that God wants His people free to serve Him more fully. Galatians 5:1 reads, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Is debt a problem in your life? If so, we urge you to check out the new FaithFi debt assessment. Just go to faithfi.com/debt. That's faithfi.com/debt. This free resource will not only assess the condition of your debt, it will help you put together a game plan for getting out of debt, perhaps once and for all. Again, faithfi.com/debt. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What does salvation look like? The Lord's people have been answering that question for thousands of years, and the Lord has been providing answers as well. Leviticus 26:6 gives us a vision. I will grant peace to the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove wild beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your land. Peace, security, comfort, that's what salvation looks like. Lying down to sleep without worrying about you or your family's safety. Walking outside in the wild without fearing that a bear or a lion is about to attack. Salvation looks like this. And in Christ, that day is coming soon. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Satan could not be God's opposite because, you see, he was created by God. Isn't it interesting how he has duped us into believing that he is God's equal in the realm of evil?
Don't miss Dr. David Jeremiah's message, The Fallen Angel, on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point, Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Our team is away today, so don't call in, but we lined up some great questions in advance, and we'll be going to those here in just a moment. Let me also remind you that the advice that I give each day on this program is general in nature. We offer principles and ideas that apply at a high level. They are not personalized, so that's why you should always seek professional financial advice. And if you'd like to find a professional who shares your values, we, of course, here at Faith and Finance Live recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. These are men and women who've met high standards, and they've been trained to bring a biblical worldview of financial decision-making. You can find one at faithfi.com. Let's dive in. We'll begin in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Sharon. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi. My name is Sharon, and I was calling next year, Lord's will, in July of 2024, I will be finished paying on my home mortgage. So I just wanted to know, like, what are some of the things that I should be expecting or have to do at the end of my payments?
Well, you need to start now planning for the party that you're going to throw when you make that last payment, Sharon. That's really exciting. Congratulations on being that close to having that mortgage paid off. You know, there really isn't much that you need to do with regard to your mortgage. You know, once it's done, you'll want to, you know, they'll send you a satisfied lien indicating that mortgage has been paid in full, and you'll want to hang on to that documentation showing that that balance is now zero. And then at that point, I think the key is, because you're now going to have this extra mortgage payment that you were sending to the mortgage that now you don't have to, just start thinking about kind of how you want to use that money. What's the priority? You'd want to try to avoid automatically increasing your lifestyle and see if there's another goal that you have. I mean, clearly one of your goals was to be completely debt-free. And now that you're accomplishing that, what's next? I mean, do you want to increase your giving? Maybe the Lord is prompting you toward a giving opportunity. Maybe you have a car that's going to need to be replaced and you'd love to do it with cash. So we need to sock that money away for that. If you have kids, you're thinking about college, or your emergency fund is not fully funded. I mean, I think those are the kinds of things I'd be praying about, thinking about. But in terms of, you know, anything else you need to do, there really isn't a whole lot, other than you'll now be sending the payments directly to your property for your property taxes to the county. And your homeowner's insurance, because you'll no longer be escrowing. And so those bills will come directly to you and you'll pay them, whereas you probably were paying them through your mortgage company's escrow account previously. So not a whole lot to think about there, Sharon. Do you have any other questions, though?
No, that's good. I just wanted to know, because I know I have to pay for my own property taxes and homeowner's insurance, but I just didn't know, like, look forward to after the end of the mortgage.
Yeah, there really isn't anything else other than you're now responsible for those directly. And so just make sure you're setting that money aside on a monthly basis so that you've got it in savings when the bill comes and it doesn't catch you by surprise. But really the only other thing is just make sure you get that satisfaction of lien and make sure you're really thoughtful about how to redirect that money moving forward. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. God bless you. Let's head to New Jersey. Hi, Marie. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, or my predicament is, and I've been praying about it, is that I have a pension that I received. I left my job, and it actually was something that I didn't even really realize that I had. The Lord provided this for me. It was really unknown to me until 5 years ago that I had this. But anyway, I received the money. I paid the federal taxes on it, and I received the lump sum because over the past few months prior to my retirement, I noticed that we were losing money in our retirement fund.
Yeah.
And so I decided to take the lump sum and pay the taxes, and I did my tithe, and now I have money that I didn't pay state taxes because I wasn't sure how much I had to pay and couldn't figure it out online. So I just wanted to know if I should buy some silver or buy some gold. I investigated it. I was told that silver was more valuable than gold because they would be using it later on, maybe down the road. They would need the silver. Or if I should do the five, or if I should do the CDs, like the 6 months. I just don't know. I don't want, this is God's money, and I know that. And I just don't want to be like the person that buried the money, buried the talents. Do you know what I mean? And
yes.
I just want to be obedient to God, but I haven't, you know, really gotten direction from the Lord yet. And I've had this money since February of this year. And I am 68. My husband is 72.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. So what are your income sources now in retirement?
We have Social Security. We're still working. I'm
okay,
a nurse.
You are still working. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So you are taking Social Security currently or no?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And so how long do you all plan to continue to work?
Hopefully, Lord willing, I'll be able to work at least 3 more years, maybe 4.
Okay.
And my husband probably maybe 2 more years.
Okay. And what, other than Social Security, once you all are redirected away from paid work to whatever God has for you next, what income sources will you have apart from perhaps this pension money? If we were to start pulling money from that, what else do you have?
Nothing. But right now, my home is worth a lot more than I owe. And, you know, I'm
But
not
I'm just
sure.
wondering
I'm
how not, you're going to cover your bills in retirement. Or will Social Security be enough?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So let me just make sure I'm clear here. So you are not retired. You're perhaps 3 years away. You're currently taking Social Security. And when your income stops from paid work, both you and your husband, when you're fully retired, based on your bills today, you would be able to cover your monthly expenses from Social Security alone, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
All right. All right. And the other assets that you'll have in retirement is only this pension money. Your husband doesn't have a retirement plan. There's nothing else.
No, unfortunately,
okay.
No.
Okay.
He
all right.
Got sick and...
That's okay. Yeah, no problem. I just want to make sure I'm clear. And the pension money, just to make sure I'm clear here, you already paid the taxes on it. It's not, you didn't roll it to an IRA. You took a withdrawal, correct?
That's right.
All right. And what do you have left after the taxes are paid? I understand you haven't paid state taxes, but what do you have left before the state taxes, but after the federal?
$170,000.
Okay. And do you have that earmarked for anything other than just to continue to grow for the future?
No, I don't.
Okay. So, and do you all plan to sell the house and downsize, or do you think you'll stay there through retirement?
Actually, right now, it's cheaper for me to live where I'm at.
Okay. All right. Very good. So then the question is, you know, what to do with the $170,000. Let me just ask one last question, and then on the other side of the break, I'll give you my thoughts. Do you have an emergency fund other than the $170,000, like a liquid savings account?
Yeah, we're building it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have at least a few months' expenses in there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. All right, let's do this. If you stay right there, Marie, this was really helpful background. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on where you go from here. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back with you. Jeff, coming your way as well. Stay tuned.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
we understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance as we provide a hopeful, encouraging, biblical message of financial decision making. You know, it's all about looking through the lens of Scripture, holding what God has entrusted to us loosely so we can give generously. I would submit that's the primary purpose for which God has entrusted resources to us, clearly to provide for ourselves and our families. But I think so often we get stuck in an endless list of needs and wants, never getting beyond that to the opportunity to serve those on our path and be generous, supporting the work of the Lord. Think about that today as you consider your role as a steward in managing God's money. Let's head back to the phones. We were in talking to Marie in New Jersey before the break. She and her husband are still working, close to retirement, 3 years out perhaps. They are living on or can live on Social Security alone, even though they have some other income coming in while they're still working. She took a pension out because she wasn't comfortable with the direction of what was going on with the 401k. She actually didn't roll it to an IRA, which, you know, Marie, would have been my recommendation because then we keep it in that tax-deferred environment. But that's okay. That's already done. So it's now in a taxable environment, but you've already paid the taxes. So you're left with $170,000 minus what you'll owe on some state taxes. And that's the extent of your retirement assets. But the good news is you're living modestly. So as you said, once that income goes away, you know, you should be in a great spot to be able to live on Social Security alone. I think for the next 3 years, let's try to sock away as much as you can, because I would imagine you've got plenty of surplus, you know, given that you're still working. Now, what to do with the 170? You asked about gold. We'll get to that in a second. I mean, typically when somebody's, let's say, 65, I don't remember if you told me your exact age, I would say you probably want, you know, as much as 40% in stocks, maybe 5 to 10% in precious metals, but no more than that of your investable assets, and then maybe 50% in bonds. And that would be a fairly conservative portfolio with still the ability to grow and offset the effects of inflation, which is reducing the purchasing power every month of that $170,000. That same pot of $170,000 buys less goods and services because of the effects of inflation. Well, one way we offset that is by, you know, taking the opportunity to grow it modestly through an investment strategy. Yes, there's risk involved in that, but we take a long-term perspective because, you know, once you reach age 65, your life expectancy is 86 and your husband's is 83. So the Lord tarries and you're in good health. We need this money to last decades or more. And we do that by investing it. And I would recommend you get an advisor to help you with that. This is a big nest egg that you've been spent a lot of time accumulating. So I'd find a certified Kingdom advisor there in New Jersey, maybe interview two or three, and find one that could take over and manage this, not based on their objectives, but yours. So they'd spend a lot of time getting to know you and your husband. What are your goals and objectives? And what does this next season look like for you all? How much income do you need? How much risk do you want to take? And then they would manage a portfolio accordingly so that you would have the peace of mind to know somebody's waking up every day thinking about how this should be managed. Now, for that 5 to 10%, and again, that's the most I would put in to the precious metals, I would recommend you do gold over silver, primarily because, you know, with gold, you know, it's a reliable store of value. It's a good diversification. It is a hedge against inflation. And with silver, there's higher risk. So it offers a higher potential for return, but silver has higher volatility than gold. And it's linked to industrial demand, which when we're heading into a recession, you know, is often difficult for silver. So if there's, you know, a lack in silver's industrial demand, it can work against you as an investor, whereas you don't really have that with the gold. By the way, gold, the reason we don't put more than 5 to 10% is that can be volatile as well, and it doesn't have the long-term performance that stocks and bonds do. So for instance, with gold, it peaked in the August of 2020 at around $2,070 an ounce. It fell 20% to nearly 1600 by last November. It's been, you know, it's bounced back nicely, but it's still cheaper today than it was in the summer of 2020. Despite all that's happened since then, and with the uncertainty and the inflation, you would have thought it would have done better. So I think, you know, given all of that, that's where I would head for here from here with this portfolio. But you're the steward, so give me your thoughts on, you know, what I've shared and whether that fits.
Well, I honestly did think about doing that. I'm just afraid that the economy is going to crash, and when it crashes, what happens? You know.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. I mean, you know, when you say was the economy is going to crash, we have to really chart, you know, define what that means. I mean, literally it crashes the banking. I mean, we go through bear markets, we go through market, you know, corrections and significant downturns where we lose 20% plus on the market. That happens, you know, every decade or every few decades, and it comes back. You know, we're still the strongest economy in the world. Yes, we have some major headwinds, major budget deficits in this country. Our interest expense will be our largest federal expenditure here in the not too distant future. We have rising debt levels. We've got inflation right now. But you have to put that against the fact that, again, we are the largest and strongest economy in the world. The U.S. dollar has no rival today that's anywhere close. You know, 90% of transactions, trades globally take place in U.S. dollars. So, you know, the fact that we could default on our debt or have some major economic event, I think is way down the road. It's important that we elect the right people who understand God's design for economics and wealth creation. Yes, we need to show up and vote for folks who understand that. But there's no, in my mind, imminent collapse or you know, a crash that is coming. If we got into a recession, could the market sell off 30%? Yeah, but you don't need this money next year or the year after. You're looking way down the road. And if you bury it under the mattress or you put it all in gold, number one, you're going to have more volatility in gold. And number two, you're just going to continue to erode your purchasing power. So just take that for what it's worth and you know, pray about it, and then perhaps interview two or three certified Kingdom advisors to see if one really resonates with you and your husband, where you'd like, you know what, this is a great fit. He or she understands us, we understand him or her, and I think they could be, you know, really wise counsel for us moving forward. To find some CKs to interview, just head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and click Find a CKA. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Jeff, Marie, Jeremy, coming your way just around the corner. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Are you investing in the future of God's kingdom or wonder how your money can make the most impact for His purposes? Kenneth Boa and Russ Crossan wrote the book Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain, to guide these discussions and build a financial legacy where moth nor rust destroy. Request your copy with your gift of any amount at faithfi.com. Your donation helps us share God's financial principles with others. Leverage your resources for greater impact today.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, reversing the effects of the abortion pill.
Lots of people don't know about abortion pill reversal, so it's very wise for believers in the church to educate themselves about this whole opportunity to help save babies.
And powerful reasons to be thankful.
If this world is all that you have to look forward to, it is bleak. But for us as believers, we have a future that's bright.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on a Friday morning. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Hey, let me just remind you here at the midpoint of the month, Faith and Finance is listener supported. That just simply means that we rely on your generous tax-deductible contributions to fund our work here to help you be a wise and faithful steward of God's money. If you'd consider a gift of any amount, and we mean that, whatever you might be able to share with the ministry, we'd certainly be grateful. It's quick and easy to do that online. You just head to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and just click the give button. By the way, Jeremy called and couldn't hold, and he was wondering about where to get the best rate to buy a new home. You know, interest rates now, they were 3 years ago at 3%, now over 7.1, even though they ticked down in the last couple of weeks. It's still important that you find a great mortgage provider to do business with. I'd like one that shares your values, which is why we've partnered with Movement Mortgage. You can learn more at movement.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith. All right, let's go to the phones. Jeff, you've been very patient in Indianapolis. Go ahead, sir.
Hi there. I have a good situation. My wife and I inherited over $1 million. We had close to $1 million in our retirement and net worth with our home value, so like 750 in traditional IRAs or 401ks. And so we're sitting on this money. We've let it pretty much reside where it was when we received it. But we've got about $400,000 in cash. And we're wondering if we should try to make a move to Roth versus those traditional 401ks.
So you're talking about trying to convert some portion of the $750,000 in traditional?
Yes.
Yeah, that would just add a huge tax liability, unless you did it really slowly over time. I would question whether or not there's a benefit. Are you still working at this point, or are you retired?
Close to retirement. Okay. My wife is fully retired.
Okay. So you're still at the peak of your earning?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't think, you get a whole lot of benefit. I mean, your income is going to drop when you retire, and you'll have largely, passive income coming in, interest income and dividends and capital gains. But your taxable income will drop significantly. And so I think converting this and adding a huge amount to your adjusted gross income to pay that you'll pay income taxes on right now at the peak of your earning potential, I just think is counterproductive, especially when your tax marginal tax rate's likely to fall in retirement, and you could pull it out and pay a lower tax rate at that point through the traditional IRA or 401k. Now, you could say, well, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is expiring in 2025, President Trump's tax cuts, and you're right, they are set to expire. There is still a question as to what administration will be, you know, in place when that happens and where are rates headed from here. Probably not lower. I think at the very least they stay flat. They likely are headed higher, again, depending upon what, you know, who is in government. So, but I think just given where you're at right now, still working, I don't like the idea of you, you know, having a huge amount added to your taxable income, which could very easily be pushed up that portion of it into a higher tax bracket. So I kind of like the idea of you having, you know, the after-tax bucket to pull from and the pre-tax, and then you can decide which one to pull from based on what's going on in the tax code and your income. I think the key is, I mean, it sounds like you guys have $1 million in a taxable account. Is that just sitting in a savings account, or is that still invested in the equities that you received in the inheritance, or what?
Yes, it is. It's mostly banking, which is frightful. We had two of the banks that failed, so that was a considerable loss.
Oh, wow.
So kind of a scary situation to let it just remain where it is, but that's what we've selected to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously you're sitting on a huge portfolio here. Are you making all the decisions yourself?
No.
Okay. So you have an advisor.
It's in a brokerage account.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think bottom line is I would have some really wise, trusted counsel that's making the investment decisions for you. I'd make sure you're not highly concentrated in any one company or a couple of companies or even one sector. As you said, you know, when you do that, you can have big losses like you had with these regional banks where the depositors were protected, the investors were not, of course. So make sure you're properly diversified. And, you know, given the significance of this portfolio in total, no reason to take unnecessary risk beyond what you, you know, feel the need to. I mean, this is ultimately a tool to accomplish God's purposes, whether that's giving, and I'd look at asset-based giving, you know, as appropriate, especially where you have capital gains along the way, and you could make gifts to donor-advised funds that allow you to do giving where you don't ever, you know, realize the capital gains on the sale if you have some profits along the way. So that's going to be a really effective strategy. Our friends at ncfgiving.com could help you, National Christian Foundation. But I think the big idea here is to get this into a portfolio that works for you all and fits with God's plan for this next season of life, which means don't take unnecessary risk. Maybe you're using CDs for part of it, you know, high quality government bonds for part of it. And yes, stocks, I think, make sense. Whether you're in their 60s or 70s, you still want probably, you know, as much as 30, 40, maybe even more than that percent in stocks to overcome the effects of inflation. So you've got something to give away or pass on to the next steward. But I think at the end of the day, Jeff, I'd probably not at this point be a big fan of you converting it to a Roth. You just don't have the time to realize the benefits. And I think you're in a higher tax bracket today than you will be down the road.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We appreciate your call. To Florida. Hi, Marie. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And thank you for your ministry. We listen to you every chance we get.
Well, thank you.
My question is, I'm retired, and I am taking RMD. I am 10 years older than my husband. I have always been self-managed in my account. And so for the past couple of years, I've been pulling some money out every single month. Yeah. I was wondering, is it time for me to get a financial advisor because of tax complications, tax questions, where to take the money from first? Now, let me just say this, that my husband is younger than I am. He's 10 years younger than I am. He wants me to spend or take as much money as I can because he says, by the time he just say you spend all your money, just say it was all gone. Well, then my retirement will come into effect. And he said, you should spend your money. You know, you made it, you saved it, but spend your money, enjoy yourself, you know, do what you want to do. So I'm thinking, well, you know, it's an idea. I never really thought of it like that. But am I ready for a tax advisor, and should I just go ahead and take as much money as I can stand?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot there. I mean, it's always good to get wise counsel, whether it's for taxes or investments, which I know you said you've been managing yourself, but also somebody who's just objective who could engage you and your husband in a process of thinking through, why has God entrusted us with this money? What is the purpose of it? One of the purposes, because money is a gift from God, it's a blessing, He created it, is to enjoy it. So I'm not opposed to that, but I also don't think He's given it to you just to spend frivolously. Now, I'm not saying you're indicating you would, but it's worth thinking about and even praying about. God, why have you entrusted this to us? What is the appropriate lifestyle you called me to? How much should I enjoy and how much should I give away? Through a qualified charitable distribution, you can meet that RMD and send it to ministry or charity and not ever pay taxes on it. So I like you getting an advisor here. We'll be right back.
Whether we're praying for our children, our spouses, or even ourselves, it can be hard to know what to pray. But in Scripture, we find clear direction on how to bring our requests before God. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress equips us with practical tools to improve our prayer lives. Join us for the series, Prayers That Really Work, all this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Why is this an important topic? Why dedicate an hour each day to talking about managing money? Is it so we can enrich ourselves? No, it's because this is a high calling that you and I have been given as managers of the King of Kings resources. It all belongs to God. And so every program we offer here on American Family Radio is about how you can live with a biblical worldview, with confidence, being salt and light in our culture and being a wise and faithful steward of everything God has entrusted to us, our relationships and His word and our time and our gifts and talents. And yes, the money that He has entrusted to us. So we want to take you back each day to God's word to pull out the principles, the big ideas and themes in Scripture and help you apply those to the daily financial decisions you're making. So back to the phones we go, Port Charlotte, Florida. Hi, Casey. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you, Rob, for taking my call. I'm a new listener, and I'm just so blessed to be here to ask you a couple questions today.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted you are. Go ahead.
So I'm 34 years old. I'm a widow, and I'm pretty much at a standstill of never having to have responsibilities, whether that was younger and younger adult and then when I got married. And after my husband died, I sold our house and business and decided to put that in my daughter's trust fund. And at this point, I'm working, I'm going to school, and I have just nowhere to start. I have nothing of my own. I don't have any payments. The only thing that is attached to me is medical debt and about $2,000 worth of credit card debt.
Okay,
yeah. So I just don't know how to start.
Yeah, I could certainly understand that. First of all, Casey, I'm so sorry to hear about your husband's passing, but I'd love to help you. And in fact, I'd love to actually, beyond even our time here on the phone today, I'd love to have one of our certified Christian financial counselors reach out to you. We're going to cover the cost for it, but this would be somebody who's been trained in biblical financial advice, how to put budgets together, deal with debt, set up a spending plan. There'll be absolutely no cost to you. And he or she can work with you over a series of calls over a few months to get all of this set up and just kind of help you have a plan. And I think that's going to help you feel a lot better just about where you're going and just allow you to regain some confidence in your new responsibilities that you haven't had before around this area of money management. You can do it, but you're going to need some help like we all do because this is a new area and we're going to give that to you. But let's tackle a few of these things. And I'm going to ask a couple of questions to do that. So you said you sold the house and the business. So where are you living now?
So I live in Port Charlotte, Florida. Our house and business was on the other coast in Vero Beach.
Okay. All right. And what did the proceeds from those two sales generate?
Almost a quarter of a million.
Okay. And what did you say you did with that?
So that I put in my daughter's trust fund.
Okay. And why is that? Why would you not, you know, you keep that for yourself, but then obviously continue to cover her expenses and then leave that to her at your death?
So I'll be honest with you. When he died, I was so confused. His mother actually came in and made more of the decision-making process for me than I did.
Okay. And this, obviously, was this a first marriage?
It was.
Okay, so this was your house together, your business together as a married couple, and the proceeds of those two sales, you're telling me, are not available to you based on the decisions that she made?
Correct, and I've looked into it a little bit before, and from what I'm understanding, I'm not able to touch any of it. At that moment, I pretty well gave the decision-making over to his mother.
Yeah.
And now
okay.
I regret it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not an attorney, Casey, but that would be the starting place. Not that you're trying to take anything away from your daughter. I suspect you have been and will continue to provide for her. Is she a child, a minor, or an adult?
She's 5 years old.
Okay. So she's a child. So obviously you're her caretaker and providing all of her.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you're going to make sure that you continue to provide for your daughter, but you've also got to provide for yourself. And these were marital assets. So in my view, and again, I'm just dropping into this story in a couple of minutes here, but in my view, these are your resources that were generated from the sale of your home and the business that you and your husband had. And absolutely, you can make sure that in the event the Lord called you home, that your daughter has a guardian and the resources for her care. But that's not the case today. You're here. This is your money. And you need to be a good steward of that money, which includes not only providing for your daughter, but providing for yourself, covering the needs that you have, the debts that you have, her care, all of it. And now what I'm hearing is this is no longer accessible to you. So I guess there's a couple of things. I mean, obviously, you need to operate day to day and you need a plan for the resources that you have. And that's what we can help you with. The second piece of this is, I think, a legal matter, which is just visiting with somebody who can speak into what was set up, how it was done, the fact that these were marital assets that were put into this trust, perhaps without your consent, and what the next step is to remedy that situation to the extent there needs to be a remedy. Do you have a relationship with an attorney, an estate attorney, that perhaps set up this trust, or is that someone that his mom has the relationship with?
That's exactly correct. She hired him.
All right. I would probably do is reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor there in Port Charlotte on our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Click find a CKA and just ask for any one of those certified Kingdom advisors to make a referral for you to an estate attorney, someone who could represent you legally, that you could kind of unpack all of this and they can help advise you based on the laws there in the state of Florida as to what happened as those marital assets were sold and what precipitated them being placed in a trust that perhaps is beyond even your ability to access those funds. Somebody, though, that has your best interest in mind and can represent you. And then in the meantime, are you working?
I do work, and I'm currently in college. Let me retract my previous statement. I also have $20,000 in student debt.
Okay. Yeah. And so obviously you're caring for your little one, you're going to college, and you're working. Are you making enough to cover your bills?
So that's kind of the other spot that I am. I am in a blessed spot. After my husband died, my parents begged us to come over and live with them. So we are with our parents. I don't really have any bills. My car's paid off. I don't have any bills, realistically. Yeah.
But you don't have any assets or savings of any kind.
I have nothing. I have nothing. I can't go out and get a place for my daughter and I on our own. I can't do nothing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's do these two things. I think these are the next steps here. And I'm so sorry that you're in this situation. But I think, you know, if you hold the line, we're going to get your information. And like I said, we're going to cover the cost for a certified Christian financial counselor to call you. I'm going to have that person work with you just on your current plan based on the income you have coming in to be able to cover your expenses, which I understand are limited because of your parents being so gracious to take you in, but hopefully getting to the place where you at least have a system to control the flow of money and you can build up a little bit of a cushion there in an emergency savings account. And then I think the second step is for you to reach out to that attorney there in Port Charlotte to talk about what transpired with these marital assets following your husband's death, just to make sure that that was handled properly and legally, and to the extent there needs to be some remedy there so that you have the resources that were yours in the first place for your purposes and to care for your daughter, that that's done the way that it should be. And again, that's where a certified Kingdom advisor could refer you out to a godly estate attorney that you would establish a relationship with directly there in Port Charlotte. So stay on the line. We're going to get your information and get somebody in touch with you, Casey. And please keep us posted. We'll ask our Faith and Finance Live community to be praying for you as well. To Idaho, Cora, go right ahead.
Yes, thank you for calling me, Call.
Sure.
We have savings from Capital One. And at the time, they have at least 3.75% annual percentage yield. But now it's 0.08. My question is, can we transfer that to a different that is more higher?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what I would do is probably if you're looking for the bank that's just paying the highest interest rate, I would go to bankrate.com. That's bankrate.com. And you could do a search there, and they're constantly updating their list of who has the best high-yield savings accounts with FDIC insurance. Now, I know Capital One actually still today has 4.3% on their what they call their Capital One 360 performance. So you may want to look at that just because you're already there and there's no fees on that, no minimum. Again, it's called the Capital One 360. But if you want to do a search to see who offers the highest rate, that's where you go to bankrate.com. And if you want a bank or a credit union that shares your values, you could also check out joinchristiancommunity.com. Quickly to Ohio, Laura, we're going to finish with you. I have just 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Hi, I am a grandma of six grandsons, four of
awesome.
Which are under the age of six. And I was just wondering, like, what my best course of action would be to start savings for them that is not a 529, just in case one of them decide not to go to college.
Sure, yeah. And do you want it in savings or investments?
I wasn't sure what was the best course of action.
I mean, I think as you're just getting started, savings would be fine. And I'd do the same thing I just told Cora. Go to bankrate.com, find who has the best high yield savings. It's going to be an online bank with no fees or minimums. Open one for each child in your name, but earmarked for them. And then just set up an automatic transfer into that account. I think that's the best way to get started. God bless you. That's going to do it for us. I'm grateful for my team, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance. on American Family Radio. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.